Okay. All right, Rick, he's Goodis in first grade. Yeah, the dash. Yeah, wasn't that something? I mean, that really touched me. I thought, man, that's true. Our life is a dash. Okay, let's hear a few more things. Maybe something that really has challenged you. Okay, Miss Bonnie. Amen. Yes. Out of our series on hell, that really jumped out at me. And that going back into the wrath, that God's wrath is never against us. It's against sin always. And didn't it challenge you? You're like, oh, I don't want the wrath of God. And we will never have the wrath of God because as his children, we're not gonna feel it. So I'm glad we're bypassing. Is not for us, but for sin. It doesn't have to be perfect. You are doing great. How about that blue ink that's going out? Okay. Anything else? Okay. The fear of God. Okay. Yep. Fear of God. Yeah. That was really good. On when we talked about wrath, that there's ways to fear God. We shouldn't fear man, but fear God. Right. Okay. A couple more. All right, Miss Sarah. Oh, smart one. Yes. Yes, remember that when we listed, we said like if you kill a rat, you know, that's a good thing, it's a vermin. If you kill the neighbor's dog, then that's a higher offense because it's more valuable to the owner. And each time it went up till it got to humans. And then when we get to God, he's just the supreme being. We to him are so valuable. That we need to fear God. We are highly valued to him. Very good. All right. You guys, we got smart kids here. Might have to stamp your hand when you leave. All right. Okay. Anything else? Doing good. Sherry? Oh, Pastor Harris. Okay.
There's a quote. I don't know if it's from you or it's from Vidya. Mm-hmm. It said, good things get in the way of great things. Great things get in the way.
Yes, Louis Giglio said that. Did you get that? Man, pray over that blue ink. It's fading quickly. Have you been writing down some of the quotes? I mean, some of the quotes that he says are just, I get on overload because there's so much in each lesson. All right, let's do one more because she's almost out of room. Isn't she doing a great job?
Yes.
Yay, hon. Doing good. Wow, good job. All right, one more. Then we're going to move on. Oh, man, this is so not like first grade. They're out of their seats wanting to get chosen. Some of them come up with strange answers, but there's no wrong answer. Okay. All right. Well, I know you guys are shy. Thank you very much. I wanted to take a little time because each one of the lessons have really challenged me. Tonight... the lesson is called Moving Day, and we're going to hear about that in a minute. Just leave it to Louis Giglio to pull things together so wonderfully by an analogy that you would never think of. And so by the end of tonight, I'm going to start in a few minutes by playing about 8 minutes of Louis Giglio, why he calls it Moving Day. And then at the end, I'm going to play about 15 to 20 minutes as he closes it out, and I think it will just challenge your heart. So right now, let's look at 2 Peter 3, 10 through 12. So I may have some of you read some of the scriptures, but this one I'm going to put on the screen. Louis Giglio actually read the whole chapter. And if you read 2 Peter 3, the chapter, it's all about what's to come. It's all about the second coming of Christ, the world being destroyed, and what's going to happen. So it's a chapter on that. Louis Giglio, we're going to highlight the verse here. It says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. That's kind of scary, isn't it? will be laid bare, destroyed by fire, and the earth, okay, I'm getting mixed up here. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed his coming. And the question that Louis Giglio emphasized is, and this is a question to always ask yourself, the question in there is, what kind of people ought you to be? As the coming of the Lord draws closer, what kind of people ought you to be? Now, don't you know that the enemy is going to work overtime? He doesn't know the day or the hour, but he's in the second heavens. He's seeing more than we are, and knowing, boy, it must be getting close. He's seeing all the activity. During that time, he's going to pull out all stops. He's going to discourage you. He's going to cause you to be confused. He's going to cause you to be depressed and full of anxiety. He's going to cause you to doubt. And you have got to stay focused on Jesus Christ, because none of us are out of the woods. All of us can be taken down if we don't stay connected and in the secret place with Jesus. In the prior verses, Peter, in this chapter, has declared that God's judgment is coming. People in those days were saying, well, it's been talked about, it's not going to happen. And he said, yeah, it's going to come. The day of the Lord will happen and everything will be destroyed. And I believe that is very, very close at hand. All of the things have come about to where you can see the signs coming. And one of the points that he's driving to during this chapter, when you read it, the world and all that it is and all that is in it, it's going to burn up. Now that, I mean, really, then all the things that you spend a lot of time doing and a lot of time putting value in and finding your identity in, if it's earthly, it's going to be burned up. So you've wasted a whole lot of time on something that didn't matter. And God is going to recreate a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And we talked about that in the unit on hell, that the wrath of God is going to finally put everything right. It takes his wrath to bring about his righteousness. So you need to make a basic choice here. Do you want to live for everything that is certain to be destroyed? Are you living for things that are going to be destroyed? Or do you want to live so that you will have an inheritance in the new heaven and the new earth? And as it gets closer, we have to be preparing. And tonight, this is what this lesson is all about. When the question says that, the question that Peter asks is, what kind of people ought we to be? And the answer is, we are to be holy and live holy and godly lives. Holy actually means to be set apart from sinful and immoral activities. We can't, and the closer it gets, you can't play around with the world and the immorality and the world. You've got to let it go. And guarding your words and guarding your thoughts, keeping your life holy. It's not easy. It isn't easy. Your sinful flesh is always going to be with you, and we won't be rid of it until we get to heaven. But God is saying, keep yourself holy. It means being set apart for God for a specific purpose. Each one in this room, you've been called not to just take a place in the pew and not just to just sit and enjoy life. You've been called for a purpose. There are people in your life that you can witness to, that you can pull in. We have been called for a purpose. Find your purpose. Find your meaning in life. Look to those around you and begin to pull them in. We are to be a watchful people. We're to be a purified people. Get rid of the sin. We're to live faithful lives. And I'm telling you, it's sometimes like swimming upstream, like the salmon that's swimming upstream, living a faithful life, because we don't look the same as the world. And it's only going to get worse. As laws change, as the government takes over things, we're going to be swimming upstream. And we may have to say, you know, I can't do that. And there may be higher consequences for it, but Jesus is worth it. It means living a life of compassionate generosity. God is not worried about how much you have in your bank account. He's not worried about what kind of house you live in. If he's blessed you with that, he's saying you're blessed to be a blessing. Find a way to pour your financial blessings into other people or into the kingdom of God, because it's not going with you. And you're going to be left behind. We're going to get into that later. You're going to leave behind your wealth. And you may be saying, well, my kids are going to get it. Well, how do you know that your child's not going to go astray or marry somebody that is going to take them? You have no way to know what's going to happen with your wealth. So begin investing it. Ask the Lord what you can do. One of the things when you give an offering, this is where my son-in-law went to school. They told him, they said, don't ask the Lord when offering time comes how much you want me to give. Instead, ask this: how much do you want me to keep? Because it's not about, ooh, that hurts to give. It's about how much can you want to keep. And then it gives you a little more perspective. And holy lives means living as God's people in a fallen world, in the limited time that we have left before God's destruction arrives. And it's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. Jesus, and Pastor, you don't ever have to apologize when there's worship going on. Man, I could just lay in his worship. So I totally would not do offend me. So session tonight, session 5, the last session, is called Moving Day. And I'm going to let Sunny start the video. We're going to do about 8 minutes, and then we're going to stop it, and then we're going to get into some things. But I want him to explain how he came up with Moving Day. Thank you, honey.
Going to invest the resources God has given us into the kingdom plans of God and into the forever future where we are going. The title of this message today is called Moving Day. And I don't know if anybody's moved here, but you can move a couple of different ways. You can have the big moving van show up and they get every single thing in your house and put it in the van. Has anybody ever done that before? But they don't get everything, do they? There's always a few little knickknacks, right? A few little special things. There's a few little items that you don't want to go in the big moving van. So what do you do with those? What do you do with those? You take them yourself? How? In the car. So you're rolling up the rug and you're putting it in the car, right? You got a few pots and pans in the front seat. You forgot to grab the whatever off the wall, so you got that framed picture because you didn't want them to carry it, and you got that in the back seat, and you're driving, and you put a few things in the new place, and then you go back, and some of you, this is just the way you move because you can't afford movers, and so this is the way it works, right? And you're taking about 19 carloads over there right now, a little at a time, just getting stuff where you're going. And this is the picture God wants us to have today of Moving Day. Not a big van coming to pick up all your possessions and moving them where you want them to be in terms of eternity, but little by little, day by day, we need to be taking carloads of stuff and getting it into our forever future with God, because this world's going away and everything in it is going away, but we're going somewhere else, and God's giving us an opportunity to get our possessions into the place where we are going before this whole world is destroyed, and it's going to be destroyed. It'd be like a hypothetical, just kind of give you a hypothetical. And I'm glad we got all our students here, because you're thinking, you know what, I don't have a lot of possessions, but you really do. I don't really have a lot to give, but you really do. Because it's not about the amount that you give, it's about the multiplying power of God. We heard that, right? And so think about this with me. Think about this hypothetical. I have inside information that North America is going to sink on Friday into the ocean. To the bottom of the ocean. The North American continent is going to sink on Friday. I have inside information. Some of you are like, really? Yeah, really. No, not really. I'm just as hypothetical. That's what hypothetical means. It's a hypothetical, okay, that the North American continent is going to sink to the bottom of the ocean on Friday at 12:12 p.m. afternoon, midday. And that means Canada sinking to the bottom of the ocean. America, United States of America, sinking to the bottom of the ocean. And who else is going sinking to the bottom of the ocean? Mexico. It's always a trivia question, right? In North America. I know it's weird because they're south of the border, but they're in North America. Thank you very much. So all of that sinking to the bottom of the ocean, 12:12 p.m. on Friday. I have inside information. But I also have flights on a plane leaving Thursday night at 11:15 to London, England. Would you like a seat? I got flights on a plane. Some of you are like, I'll go to London. I don't care what America's doing, if North America's sinking or not. If you're going to London, I'm going to London. That's, yes. So I've got the flight's held. I have seats available at 11:15, one-way flight to London, because we're not coming back. because North America's sinking at 12:12 on Friday to the bottom of the ocean. Now here's the ground rules. You can't bring anything with you. No luggage, no carry-ons, no purse, no iPad. I know some of you can't travel without one. You can't bring your phone. You can't bring anything. No jewelry, nothing. You say, can we wear clothes? Yes, you can wear clothes, just because the hypothetical will get weird if you're not wearing clothes, okay? So you can wear clothes, but not a lot. Like, you can't layer up like 20 outfits. No luggage. And North America. Did I mention the fact that North America is sinking to the bottom of the ocean at 12:12 on Friday? So here's the way it works. You can't take anything on the flight with you at 11:15 on Thursday night, but you can spend from right now until Thursday shipping whatever possessions are precious to you to London before we get on the flight. Obviously, you can't ship them afterwards because America's sinking to the bottom of the ocean at 12:12 on Friday, so you can't sink stuff from the bottom, ship stuff from the bottom of the ocean anywhere, right? But you can ship, and we're opening 24-hour shipping stations all over America. So there's one in your neighborhood, and it's open 24 hours a day. And you can take whatever is near and dear to you there, and you can try to package it up, box it up, and get it on the way before 12:12 on Friday. Also, you can wire any funds that you have. Some of you, you know, that's $21.85. But you can wire that. The wire fee is $35. But hey, you know, you have to work that out. You can wire whatever you've got. Now, if you're a little bit older, you got a 401k, it'd be a good time to cash out of that baby. You're like, no, if I take all the money out, I'm going to have to pay more taxes. No, you're not, because of North America sinking to the bottom of the ocean at 12:12 p.m. on Friday. So if you got savings accounts, it's a good time. If you got coins at the house, anybody? Hello? If you got coins in the closet, this is a right time to get them rolled up and get them to the bank. And if you don't have time to roll them and get them to the bank, you can just take them to Publix and put them into CoinStar. CoinStar is a crazy good business. Do you know what CoinStar is? Do you know what CoinStar is? CoinStar is the people that you pay them to take your money. That is a good business right there. I've gathered up all my loose coins, pennies, and change. I've carried them myself in my car with my gas to the Publix. I have brought them into the store, which at times is a little humiliating because you got a shoebox or a sock or, you know, just pockets full of coins, and you're over there at the coin store like, I know, great, whatever. And you're dumping all your change in there out of all your pockets, and then you pay them to take it. Isn't that awesome business? So if you got coins, take them to the CoinStar. Because you got 4 days. So what are you going to do in the next 4 days? What are you going to do between now and 11:15 on Thursday? You're going to go through moving mentality. What is moving mentality? This, my friends, is getting thrown away. Amen? This is getting given away. The thrown away stuff, even giveaway people don't want. It's like, I don't even know why we have it. You can't even give this away. We're throwing this away. Then there's other stuff that you've decided on moving day that you're going to give away, right? And so this gets given away. And then there's other stuff that you say, this is important enough that it's going with us. And so you're going to do that between now and Thursday. You're going to go throw away, give away. Of course, giving it away isn't going to work because North America is going to the bottom of the ocean at 12:12 on Friday. So enjoy it while you got it, all right? But then there's stuff that you decide you want to go with you. And so you're spending all the next few days at that shipping center, boxing stuff up, online with the bank, rolling up your coins, finding that little money that you had hidden away in the house, and trying to figure out how to get everything you can get to London before you get on that plane at 11:15 p.m. on Thursday night. Because your financial future in London depends on your ability to get your stuff out of here before it sinks and into there before you arrive. And that's what we're talking about on a whole lot bigger scale. The day of the Lord is coming, and this earth is going to dissolve. Your house, gone. The furniture in it, gone. The arts and crafts in it, done. The land you own, done. Your business, done. The skyscrapers of New York City, done. This earth is going to evaporate in the day of the Lord. But that's okay, because there's a new earth that's better than this one, and we're going to it. And God is saying, I don't know whether it's 4 days, because I don't know when the plane leaves, but I do know you've got time right now to get your stuff out of here and into there.
So that's the premise where he starts. We'll get back to him in a minute. I love his analogy. We have to be in a mind where we are constantly preparing, especially now, for our moving day. We're going to leave here, and we've got to be prepared. And there's only the stuff that we send ahead will go. Now, there's two big ideas that Louis Giglio discusses. I got to keep an eye on the clock because I've got 10 minutes to get this all in before I start the last part. First of all, number one, Earth is an unsecure environment for our riches. You do not want to put your riches in this earth. It's not secure. It's going to be left behind. In Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower that the righteous run into and they are saved. It's the name of the Lord that is our fortified account. And Proverbs 18:11-12, the wealth of the rich in their fortified city, and they are in their fortified city, and they imagine it a wall too high to scale. In other words, for all of us in this place, our hope is not in the amount of riches and possessions we have on this earth. Our hope is in the name of the Lord our God. That's our strong tower. That's where we find our shelter. Jehovah God is our shelter. Jehovah God is our life. In a life now and in the life to come, he's our God, he's our Lord. But some people who do not have the shelter or the refuge, they start building castles on this earth, so to speak. They make a castle out of their money, out of their wealth. They figure if they can build enough walls of security in their money and their possessions with their riches, that they can insulate themselves from the harms and dangers of this life. And maybe it works for a little while on this side of heaven, but I'm telling you, a day of reckoning is coming. We cannot put a high enough wall in dollars and cents to insulate us and your family from harm, death, and danger. It just will not hold you. And we also know that Jesus said our lives will be required of us, possibly in the twinkling of an eye, if we're here when he comes. So no matter what you've built up, in the twinkling of an eye, it could be taken from you. Then everything that we thought was secure is gone. It's gone. And then we realize, what have I done? In Psalms 39, it says it like this. Psalms 39, 4 through 7. Show me, Lord, my life's end, and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. So if you're looking at someone saying, wow, they have everything in life that they could possibly want, they're not secure. They're not secure, if that's what their castle is. And it says, then surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing where it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is totally in you. And doesn't that describe our society today? Running to and fro, accumulating wealth, getting all the wealth we can. In the end, that tower is not going to hold you. I'm telling you, the earth is an unsecure environment for placing hard-earned investments. The financial climate of America and of this world is not, it's not going to hold you, and it can change on a dime. Your wealth can evaporate in a matter of days. On 911, remember 911 when we were under attack? Immediately, the institute and the stockage brokers, everything went chaos. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if we would have the wealth at the end. We didn't know how it was going to turn out. In an instant, it could have all been gone. Luckily, God had mercy. It may not be that way always. In 2008, when the real estate market melted down, we had a global economic crisis. crisis that caused banks and stock markets to melt down. And we learned that banks don't have enough money to give us back what we put in them. It just is not there. And many banks at that point went out of business. They had done risky things and they went out of business. So we said all that to say, in an instant, your wealth that you put into and said, I'm going to live on this, it could be gone tomorrow. And then you better know that no matter what happens, my life is God's. He will take care of me. You've got to know that. Even if the banks and stock markets were, and if they were totally viable and they could just stand any test of time, remember, in the end time, everything's going to be burned up. The banks, the money, everything's gone. So even if it were viable, even if it were safe, in the end, when we stand before the Lord, it's not going to be there. All that we have is what we put in the kingdom of God. And what Jesus is saying tonight is that earth is an insecure environment, and it's not the place to put your most precious possessions. Jesus is saying in Matthew 16, 19 through 20, and can you put that up, babe? Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then down to verse 24, right after that, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So if your hope today, and you're feeling all secure because everything in your life seems to be in order, you've got a very shaky, shaky place where you're putting your treasures. It won't last, and it may be tested. I don't know what's in store for America. Nobody does. But I pray that if our economic situation, if we collapse tomorrow, that we would meet here at church the next Sunday and we would be praising God because we are rich in Him. I hope that we would meet in this church and say, you know, I lost everything in the bank. They haven't, but man, God is worthy. And we're going to be here worshiping and praising Him because He is our treasure. We have not been tried in that. We've caught little snippets of it, but it hasn't been taken from us. We just have no guarantee. And it wouldn't surprise me if America, in their arrogance, were not tried in that. So you can't trust what you have on earth. And notice that in that verse, I underlined it. It says, it doesn't say in there, and this is kind of an eye-opener, lay up for God treasures in heaven. God doesn't need our treasures. Goodness, the streets are made with gold. The walls are jasper and rubies and jewels. He does not need our wealth. Heaven's got more than we could ever do. So He's saying, when you push treasures onto heaven, you're laying them up for, not God, yourself. You're laying them up for yourself. And I think that when we get there, we're going to be surprised. There'll be some people there that were saying, what? You know, they're ahead of me in line? Well, they just, in their own little lives, and I think Louie's going to cover this in the video part, they just served God in their own little lives, got the gospel out, and the Lord said, great is your reward in heaven. They were passing on. So it may be required, if you want to give treasures and get ready for heaven, it may require you to turn off the TV or turn off talk radio. Sorry, Rush Limbaugh, but got to turn you off. And spend time in prayer for families in this church or in your community. People that you know that are hurting or that need Jesus. Spending time in prayer for them. And it may, we have to be looking always for opportunities to send things ahead. It doesn't matter if it's out of your box, if you're taking a risk. It doesn't matter. You have got to always think, if I need to do this because I want to send on to heaven some treasures. So it could be, if you're blessed financially, maybe you need to give to someone in need. Maybe you need to help someone and give of your finances. They're not your finances. God blessed you so that you could bless others. And so you may give financially, or perhaps give a word of encouragement. You can't, like Pastor said tonight, just go over and encourage them. You can't go wrong with encouragement. Is there anyone here that doesn't like encouragement? So go and encourage someone, or fix a meal for someone. I know my sister-in-law Susan is really good at this. When Sunny was going through, and I know she's always fixing meals. Susan, that's pushing treasures on. Sorry to call you out, but I thought of you when I put that down. Or give a hug to someone. I'm a hugger, so I if I love you, I'm probably going to hug you, and just get over it, because I just do that. So give a hug to someone, or include someone in your group that you normally don't include. Maybe they're not like you, maybe they don't talk like you, but include them. Include them in your group. You're paying it ahead. Give a ride to someone that needs a ride, or visit the sick and the elderly. The list goes on and on and on, besides winning the lost, which is a big thing to God. But these little things, you're saying, and during this these sessions, I have been so challenged by God. I've got to be doing more. I feel like I'm not doing enough. Somebody asked me a couple weeks in, so, are you enjoying? I'm going, I feel so challenged. I don't feel like I'm doing enough with my life. I just need to be doing more. But God doesn't operate in guilt. Your little things that you do matter in the kingdom of God. So that's investing in the kingdom of God. When you do this, you're laying up treasures in heaven. And you're not laying them up for him. You're not saying, God, I'm going to go see that person so that I can give you a treasure in heaven. No, you're doing it. And it's okay to talk this way, because he said that in the word. It's okay to say, I'm laying up for myself treasures in heaven. I'm doing this because I want to be God's hands. I want to be God's voice. I want to lay up treasures for myself in heaven. Once you get there, it's too late to lay up treasures. It's here in the dash that it's going to count. And we must be heavenly minded. So you need to be shipping ahead all the time, shipping ahead to heaven, because this earth is an unsecure environment to lay your treasures. But heaven is a secure environment. Everything that you've sent ahead is there. Everything that you've sent ahead is going to be rewarded. Everything that you've done for Jesus on this earth, although it seemed little to you, but you did it with the heart to help, it will be rewarded. And number two, the second big thing is, we will have in heaven only what we have invested in our heavenly account. So if you've just basically lived a life and made money and come to church, but you haven't had a relationship, you haven't been doing things to help people, getting out of your box, you're not going to have much in your account when you get to heaven. And then it's too late. You're going to be standing there going, what? What? I didn't know. And he's going to cover this big time at the end. You'll feel guilty. He said, I did. Good guilt, right? Jesus couldn't have said it more clearly. He said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and thieves do not break in. Now, the second point of investing in heaven, Louis's going to bring it about at the end. He'll bring it about. I hope it will challenge you. I'm going to let Louis bring this point alive using a U-Haul to make the point. And in this scripture, if you want to follow along, if it's not too dark, he's going to be using the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 14 through 30 before closing out. So I don't know if you want to be ready to look that up or just listen. But let's see what Louis has to say.
Destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. You know, the mentality of the world says get everything you can and keep it locked.
Sonny made me promise him. He said that when I use the slides and then I try to do a a video, it freezes up the video. So I said, that's something you need to get fixed. So I need this, honey. We need to pray. Lou, be healed. This is pulling it all together.
So series, as safely as you can. And so the world's constantly telling us, you know, have you gotten one of these? Do you have one of these? Have you seen this before? And we're always thinking, I don't know, I don't have one of those. Maybe I need one of those. Maybe I need two of those. Maybe I should look into that. And then we get the stuff, and what the world says to us to do with it is just keep it somewhere secure and keep it somewhere safe. And so for a lot of us in our lives, it looks like the accumulation of things. And in some cases, we accumulate so much stuff that, hello, we have to go rent a storage unit to put the extra stuff we have that we can't fit in the house. That's crazy, isn't it? Because we don't even know what's in that storage unit. And most of our family members don't even know we have it. And so when our lives are required of us, what's going to happen? They're going to come with TV cameras. They're going to bust that lock, and people we don't even know are going to open that door and rummage through our stuff on television. And when he dies, he doesn't know who will get it. You'll hear 100, you'll hear 115, 120, 200, 225, 25, rah, rah, sold for $300. All your stuff, all my stuff. Because the world says, store it all up, accumulate as much as you can and hold on to it, and you know what? Keep it as secure as you can keep it in this world. But here's the thing, and you've heard it said 100 times, you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer through a cemetery. Why? Because we all know you can't take it with you. But guess what? You can ship it on ahead. And what Jesus is saying is the opportunity for us is to take our riches and invest them in kingdom endeavors, to multiply them by the work of God in his kingdom, and then at the end of the day to be able to know that we have a share with him in eternity. You say, where are you getting all this? Can I just close with this one last passage, Matthew 25? Now, the context of Matthew 25 is all about the end times. It would be beautiful if we could just take a little while and read all of Matthew 24, which the header says signs of the end of the age. So that's what we're talking about. If we could come all the way down to the end of that, verse 36, no one knows the hour or the day, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. If we could come down toward the end of chapter 24, where it says, when that day of the Lord comes, there'll be no turning back. It said two men will be walking through a field and one man will be gone and one man will still be walking. It says a husband and wife will be sleeping side by side in a bed, and the day of the Lord will come, and one of them will be gone, and the other one of them will remain. Because when 11:15 comes, and that flight takes off, there's no turning back. There's no undoing time. There's no making decisions that we wish we had made in that moment. You can't take anything with you, and you cannot change your eternal destiny in that moment. And so Jesus is clearly laying out what's happening at the end of the age. He comes to chapter 25 and he tells several parables. The middle parable goes like this in verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To the one, he gave 5 talents of money. To another, 2 talents. To another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. And the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So the one with two talents gained two more, but the one who had one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. That's Jesus picturing his return into our lives. So it's not about storing up according to somebody else's ability, but it's being faithful with the five or the two or the one that God has given you according to your ability. That's why a seventh grader and a millionaire are on equal standing in the room right now. Because it's not about the amount, it's about the stewardship of whatever God has put in your hands right now. And to some he's given five, to some he's given two, and to some he's given one, and that's God's business to decide how he does that. We have the opportunity to invest what he's given us and let it multiply and grow for his kingdom purposes. But he returned and has settled accounts with them. The man who had received five talents brought the other five, and he said, "Master, you entrusted five talents. See, I've gained five more." And look at verse 21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with two talents brought his and said, "See, I've gained two more." Verse 23. And he replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." So they both get the same reward. One has five and one has two, but it doesn't matter. They both get the same "well done." And they both get, "You were faithful with a little. I'm going to make you in charge of a lot. Come and share in your master's inheritance. Come into the future with me. You're going to rule and reign in a way that is commensurate with your faithfulness with what I gave you." What is Jesus saying? It's not equal when we get to heaven. We all get there by grace, but we all have a station there by faithfulness. Do you see that? We all get there by grace, but your position there is determined by your faithfulness with the little God has given you on earth. And here's how that breaks down for me. God isn't going to say, "Louis, here's what I've entrusted into your care. You did not invest that into the kingdom. You held on to it. You squandered it. You stored it up and locked it in a U-Haul trailer. Therefore, welcome to heaven by the grace of God. I'm not putting you over more in heaven than what I gave you on earth." Or the contrary, "Thank you very much for being open-handed and faithful with what I've given you on earth. Even though it didn't look like a lot, guess what? I'm putting you over a whole lot of stuff in heaven." See, this whole passage, we quote it all the time. "He who's faithful in little will be given much," or "he who's faithful in little will be made ruler over much," is really what Jesus says. But we don't understand the context is all end times heaven. And your position in heaven, second big idea, is determined by your faithfulness on moving stuff out of here into there. But what about that guy with the one talent? Not so good for him. Verse 24, "The man who had received the one talent came and said, 'Master, I knew that you were a hard man, investing where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is. Here's what belongs to you.' And his master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant!'" Exclamation point. "So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, that I gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest." You could have at least done that. And then he says in verse 28, "Take the talent from him," this is Jesus, "and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Aren't you so glad Jesus taught us that? You're like, "Louis, that's a hard truth." I know, but it comes from the best financial advisor you'll ever meet. And he's saying, "Do you want me to give you some financial advice? Would you like to know about some insider trading?" That's not good financial advice, by the way, but it is in this case okay. You can go to jail for that. But Jesus said, "I'll give you some insider tips. And I'll give you the best financial advice you've ever heard. Move your stuff out of here and into heaven. Take what I've given you, time, opportunity, faith, faithfulness, money, resources, gifts, and abilities, and invest them in the kingdom of God. And let the multiplication factor happen. And when you do that, when the end of time comes, I will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little, so I'm gonna make you ruler over a lot. And the guy that worked on your car, it just breaks the other day, may be your ruler in the whole jurisdiction of where you end up in heaven. And you're like, who is that guy? Tom? Tom like the Tom guy? Yeah, that's me. How'd you become who you are in heaven? No, I don't know. I just tried to be a great guy at Just Breaks, and I prayed for everyone that came in. I didn't make a ton, but we always try to be good stewards, and we always invested into the things of God. Try to share Jesus faithfully in my life. Spent a lot of time serving the poor. I guess I just did the best with what God had put in my hands to release it back to him. And when we got here, he said, well done, Tom. You're a great, faithful servant. You were so faithful with that little. Guess what? I'm going to make you a ruler and entrust you with a lot in heaven. Come and enter in with me to my inheritance. You say, Louis, do you save money? I need to be transparent as we close this. Yes, I do have a savings account. Do you invest money? I do. When I think it's a good place to invest, sometimes that's better than money just sitting in a bank. Yes. Louis, do you have a retirement fund? Yes, I do. Do you have some money socked away at the house? Uh-huh, a little bit. It's in my underwear drawer. But our hope, Shelley's and mine, God willing, is not in a retirement fund or a savings account. Because A, I don't plan on retiring. You don't need to clap for that. I promise I won't be preaching in here when I'm 80. I don't know, I might be, but probably not. But I'll be preaching until I can't preach anymore. And if I can't preach, I'll find something else to do that contributes to the common good. Because why would I want to spend the last 25 years of my life driving around the Grand Canyon when I'm going to a new earth that probably has a better Grand Canyon than our Grand Canyon? Yeah. Now that wasn't meant to be a knock on going to the Grand Canyon. I've been to the Grand Canyon. It's amazing. If I got a chance to go back, I'd go back. Give me 6 hours in Vegas with a rental car and nothing to do, I'm tempted to go to the Grand Canyon. But I don't plan on spending the last chapters of my life cruising around in an RV. So I'm not laying up a retirement fund so that one day I can just cease doing anything that helps anybody and cruise around in life. And I'm not even really confident, honestly, that all the money that we're saving for a rainy day is even going to be there on the rainy day. Our confidence is in this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Therefore, today, God is our provider. Tomorrow, he will be our provider. Before we had any money in savings, he was our provider. And he is and always will be our provider. But do you know what we've done? We've tried to be good stewards of what God has given us. And you know what it's done? It's created margin for us. So we're not under the tyranny of debt. We don't live under the friction and fracture of financial strain. And we have the ability to say, God, you want us to go that way? Okay, we'll go that way. You want us to invest in that? We'll invest in that. Do you want us to give to those people? We'll give to those people. Do you want us to be a part of what you're doing and give us the opportunity to join you in this venture over here? We'll join you in that venture because we can. But at the end of the day, for all of us, the greatest financial advice we can hear is get your money out of here and get it there. So while the world's telling you to pack the U-Haul God is telling us today. Come on, friends. Let's unpack the trailer while we can. Let's start getting our stuff out. I got two of these and one of these. I think the Robertsons need one of these. You need one of these? Great. I'd like you to have this one. Deposit in my heavenly account. You say, that sounds very selfish. It is for yourselves that you lay up treasure in heaven. Did you do it for the glory of God? Of course you did. But it's a win, 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 win. God wins. God gets glory. The Robertsons win because they needed something that was in your trailer. It was going to be stuck in there all the time, but they needed it. And you win because you lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. And you're like, you know what, God? I'd just rather you take that and multiply it any way you want to. We want to ship that one on ahead, and we want to invest. What else do we got in here? And you know what? When we give at Passion City Church, when Shelly and I give into the giving here, my mind is never thinking our financial oversight team, this is going to go through our accountants, this is going to go into our bank account. I don't look at our financial records at Passion City Church and go, oh, some of my money is in there. I am thinking, I am taking my resources out of my pocket, and I am putting them in a FedEx envelope, and I am sealing that up in faith to God Almighty. I'm trying to get the little Ziploc thing off, and I'm saying, God, this money can either sit down here, or we can ship it to you and trust you to do whatever you want to do with it and multiply it for your glory in this world. So when I'm giving into that bucket as it comes by every week here, I'm saying, God, I'm giving this into your account. I'm taking my stuff and my resources and what I have, and I'm saying, you know what, God, I just want to get as much as I can into my heavenly account. You know why? Because every time I do that and say, God, this is for your glory, and so we're just making another deposit today. It may be $5, but who knows what God's going to do with that in multiplying that in his kingdom purposes. It might just be a word of encouragement or a note of encouragement or a prayer that I'm going to send to somebody, but I'm going to send them that prayer and I'm going to seal it up in faith and I'm going to say, God, take this opportunity, take this moment, take this act of sacrifice, take this service, take these words, and I want to seal them up to you, God, and I want to invest them because, God, you can do more with them than I could ever dream or imagine. We just want to make sure that we have enough so that other people can be blessed by what we have. God, we want you to be blessed because you gave it all to us and we can't get more in, so we'll just trust you on that, God. We just trust you on that. But you know what? Here's the thing. When you get there, guess what? All your stuff is going to be there when you get there. You know why? Because this is a secure drop. Heaven is a secure drop. And I just want to encourage you tonight. You're like, I really don't have a lot of money, Louie, and I'm really not thinking I'm going to die anytime soon. And that's a good picture, and thanks for that. Please understand tonight that you're holding God's resources right now. And you have two choices. I have two choices. I can just store them up, thinking they're going to be there forever. Or I can waste them without even considering him. Or I can ship them to London. And when I arrive at Heathrow Airport on the morning of Friday about 9:30 and have a little man with a clipboard come meet me at the gate and say, hello, Mr. Giglio, here are all the things that you successfully shipped to London before your departure. And trust me, I don't want a zero on that ledger. I don't want to be sad in heaven. Like, Louie, we're going to be happy in heaven because we're not in hell. And that's true. And then as soon as we're happy that we're not in hell, we are going to be happy or sad that we have invested in heaven.
Anyone convicted tonight? It's time to pick up our kids, so I'm just going to close this up in prayer. And I pray you've been challenged tonight to think about how you can invest in heaven. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord, and we want to be good stewards with what you've given us. Father, it's not about how talented we are, how much we have. It's with what are we doing with what we do have. Father, I don't want to stand before you in heaven and not have sent ahead things that I invested in heaven. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that during the time that we have left on this earth, that we would work while the sun still shines. We will work while we still have blue sky. We will ship on to heaven, Lord, looking for ways to invest in the kingdom of God. For Lord, it's not selfish to say that we're sending it on so we can lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. I want you to say, Lord, when I stand before you, well done, good and faithful servant. And Father, it's too late then to worry about what we've invested. It's doing it now. But Lord, the sun's still shining, the sky is still blue, and we still have time to invest in the kingdom of heaven. So Lord, challenge us. Show us as we go through our daily life how we can be used to touch others for the kingdom of heaven, to pay forward to the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for this series, Father. It has challenged us. We still have time to give into the kingdom. And so, Father, the timing is everything. Lord, bless this church. Bless the times that lay ahead. And help us, Lord, to keep our eyes ever upon you. For you alone are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. And bless our lives to bless your kingdom. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Wonderful. Amen, amen. Before you go, will you please write this down? Text yourself, write it down. Phenomenal. Wonderful. Oh, man. I was just crying. I was happy. I was excited. I'm, you know, sorting things out in my mind. Please write this down. So we talked a lot about storing up treasures in heaven. The next parable tells you how. I want you to write this down. Matthew 25. And read it before you go to bed tonight. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. Matthew 25, 31 through 40. It's a separation of the sheep and the goats, and it tells you what to do. It says, you probably remember this, and the king will say, I will tell you the truth, last verse, 40. When you did it to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Okay? I want you to read that tonight. I want you to pray, and then I want you to ask God, what can I do tomorrow? Amen? Amen. We love you. Don't forget, if you can, I believe there's a party on Saturday, 4 o'clock, a fiesta. We would love to see you there. It'd be muy bueno. Adios. Hasta luego. Love you. Como decir, love you. Yeah, what he said. Amen.